10 weeks left in this year. How many of you knew that? Exactly 10 weeks left in this year. Can we make a difference for God during these 10 weeks? Can we grow in our relationship with Him? Can we be transformed, be more like Jesus Christ? And can we make an impact for Him? Time is short. It seems to be getting shorter every year. But time is in God's hands. And just like last week, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, we talked about the sun standing still. God can give us the time that we need to accomplish His purpose for us. Now, He does it in different ways. Some of the ways we like, some of the ways we don't like. At 4:40 this morning, my smoke alarm started beeping. You know when the battery goes low? All of a sudden it goes beep real loud. And it did it again in about 10 seconds, and I figured I might as well get up. So I got up a little earlier this morning than I anticipated. God gave me some extra time. But is it not true that we need to redeem the time to make the most of every opportunity? God gives us as individuals and as a church an opportunity to fulfill the great commandment, love the Lord, love our neighbor as ourselves. To fulfill the great commission, going into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. And the great challenge of equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, because we're part of the body of Christ and God wants to use each and every one of us. Today we're going to talk about the Great Commission. And for the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to focus on the Great Commission and what we as a church are involved in. Actually, we're involved in 5 partnerships with people that are in other parts of the world. And we're going to be dealing very briefly with each one of them. Hopefully, we'll have a video from them to share a little bit of their ministry. We can't say all of it in regard to the stream, but we're talking about Portugal. We're talking about Canada. We're talking about Barbados. We're talking about Thailand. And we're talking about South Asia. Isn't it neat the way that God is using Catawba Baptist Church to make a difference all over the world? If you will, take your Bibles, turn to Jonah chapter 1. I know that Sunday school classes, Sunday school life groups considered Jonah not long ago, but I doubt they presented it in exactly the same way that I'm going to present it. I told one Sunday school life group this morning that this morning I'm not going to alliterate. Now, alliterate is using the first letter of for each point. The first letter is the same. But I'm not going to do that today. Nineveh is the city that we're talking about here. It was a city of Assyria. It was a city that was a very wicked city. They were enemies of the Jews. And Jonah was told to go and to share the good news, the word of God, with the people at Nineveh. And we're going to learn about that in Jonah chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 17 and then a few verses in chapter 2 and chapter 3 as well. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, threw the cargo that was in the ship into the seas to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid, said to him, "Why have you done this?" Because the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous. Can y'all say that? Let's say it all at one time. You ready? One, two, three. Tempestuous. Thank you, Ron. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And then chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. There are some scholars that think that Nineveh and its suburbs, to go around its circumference, was about 60 miles. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we pray that you will speak to our hearts, that you will help us to have the mindset that God has, not the mindset that the world has. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about the Great Commission today. And this fits in extremely well. Jonah chapter 1 verses 1 to 2 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" That's sort of what we're doing today, is it not? Sharing with the world around us that we have a problem, the bad news, that we are sinners and we don't deserve to go to heaven. The good news that Jesus died on the cross so that we can go to heaven if we believe on him. Let's look at the slide that talks about the bad news. The bad news is wickedness. That's what it says in verses 1 and 2. The city of Nineveh was wicked. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned." In fact, let's say it together. Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." That's the bad news. We have all sinned. We've all messed up. And because of that, we deserve death. That's talking about spiritual death. It's talking about eternal separation from God. And if we're not with God after we die, we will not be in heaven. We'll be spending eternity in hell. And that's not something we like to think about, but that's what the Word of God says. And what we need to recognize is, number one, the bad news, but the good news is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says, "God commended his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us." That's what the gospel is all about. That Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We deserve to perish, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we can have everlasting life if we believe. John 1:12, "As many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name." If we receive him as our Savior, if we believe in his name, then we have eternal life. We don't have to perish, but instead we can spend eternity in heaven. That's the gospel. And once we've received the gospel, we have the responsibility of the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 is basically this. We need to make disciples by going, by baptizing, and by teaching them to observe all things. We need to share the good news about Jesus Christ with people around us that might not know Jesus Christ. Help them to become a part of the church, to be baptized, and to profess that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. And then teach them to do what God's Word says. That's what the gospel is, the Great Commission is. It's making disciples in that way. Acts 1:8 talks about the location. It says that you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Our responsibility is not just here in Rock Hill. It's the whole state of South Carolina, the whole North America, the whole world. We have a responsibility of sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, in the Southern Baptist Convention, we have different organizations that are responsible for focusing on these areas. The York Baptist Association has to do with Jerusalem. It has to do with Rock Hill. South Carolina Baptist Convention has to do with Judea or the environs right about us in the state. Samaria would be the North American Mission Board. There's some cultural differences, there's some economic differences and so on, but there's an opportunity to share the gospel with people in North America. And then finally, IMB, the International Mission Board, is responsible for seeking to share the good news about Jesus Christ to the uttermost part of the earth. As we look at the world around us, most people do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Even in America, the percentage is becoming less and less. We have so many more people that are none of the aboves rather than being Christian or Catholic or whatever it might be. We have a lot of people in the world that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, which makes sense because Jesus said that narrow was the way that leads to life and broad was the way that leads to destruction. So it makes sense there are a lot of people that need Jesus Christ. But our responsibility is to share the gospel. That's what the Great Commission is to let people know about Jesus Christ. So just like God said, go to Jonah, God says, go to each one of us. We can do it in various ways. We can pray. That's extremely important. We can give. That's extremely important. But we also need to go. Probably most people are not going to get saved in Catawba Baptist Church. Most people are going to be saved outside of the walls of this church. And that's why we need to go. If we don't go, there are a lot of people that are not going to be saved. So number one is God said go. Let's repeat that. God said go. Number two is Jonah said, what do you think Jonah said? Jonah said no. I'm not alliterating, but I am trying to make it where you can remember it. Now, it says in verse number 3, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't understand completely Jonah's thinking. He was supposed to be a prophet. He was supposed to know God's word. Psalm 139 talks about the fact that we cannot get away from God's presence. But Jonah felt like by going to Tarshish, he could get away from the presence of the Lord for some reason. Sometimes we don't make sense in what we do. But Jonah made a little bit of sense. This is what Warren Wiersbe wrote. Nineveh was great in sin, for the Assyrians were known far and wide for their violence, showing no mercy to their enemies. They impaled live victims on sharp poles, leaving them to roast to death in the desert sun. They beheaded people by the thousands and stacked their skulls up in piles by the city gates. And they even skinned people alive. They respected neither age nor sex and followed a policy of killing babies and young children so they wouldn't have to care for them. No wonder Jonah didn't like them. And Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh because he knew that God might be merciful and he might spare the city of Nineveh rather than causing them to be destroyed. And therefore, he decided that he was going to move away from God. There was disobedience on his part, active disobedience, trying to run away from God, even though he should have known you can't do that. You can't get away from God's presence. Nineveh was to the east. Tarshish was probably in Spain, over 100,000 miles west of Joppa, which was a seaport of Israel. So active disobedience. But don't we sometimes engage in passive disobedience? If active disobedience is trying to run away from God, passive disobedience is trying to ignore God. Is it not true that God has given us the Great Commission? We need to go. We might not verbally say no, and we might not try to run away from God, but if we ignore God's commandment, then we are disobeying nonetheless. The Bible talks about sins of commission and sins of omission. The sins of commission are when we transgress God's word. When the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, and we steal, that's a sin of commission. A sin of omission is when we know what is right, what is good, and then we do not do it. Then it's called sin, James 4:17. And if we know that we are supposed to be engaged in the Great Commission and we're not involved in the Great Commission, then we are still disobeying. It's interesting that a prophet would say no to God. But it happens all the time that people, whether a preacher, whether a deacon, a Sunday school leader, or somebody in the pew or whoever it might be, we say no to God on a regular basis by not obeying him when it comes to the Great Commission and other things. So Jonah said no, just like sometimes we say no. All right, number one was what? God said, go. Jonah said, no. What do you think God said? Who said that? You're exactly right. W-H-O-A. God said, whoa. It reminds me of Roy Rogers. How many of you used to watch Roy Rogers when you were young? I don't know if he had to say whoa to Trigger. Trigger knew exactly what Roy wanted to do all the time. But sometimes we say whoa to our animals. God sometimes says whoa to us. In verses 4 through 17, we see that he says whoa. Now, God had spoken directly to Jonah. He had said, you need to go to Nineveh. But God, in this particular situation, in verses 4 through 17, does not speak directly to Jonah. He speaks, first of all, through the storm. Just picture it. Jonah's on a ship. The ship's on the way to Tarshish. Jonah's tired. He goes down below and he takes a nap. But there is a tremendous storm. Such a bad storm that they were throwing cargo out so that the ship would not sink. And the captain goes down and says, hey, why don't you pray to your God too? They find out that his God is the God of the Hebrews, the one that made the land and the sea. He had already told them that he was running away from the presence of God. And they were very scared. They were scared, but they were still concerned about Jonah. They tried their best to save the day without throwing Jonah off the boat. But eventually it came to a point where they recognized that's exactly what they need to do. They threw Jonah into the sea, and all of a sudden, the storm stopped. God used a storm to communicate with Jonah and to stop him. Not only did God use a storm, what else did he use? He used a fish. Now, sometimes we think it was a whale, because whales are some of the biggest fishes, but basically, it doesn't say whale, it says a fish. And sometimes people say, well, that couldn't happen. But if God can create the heavens and the earth, do you think he can make a fish able to swallow Jonah? I think that he can. Like I said, God had spoken directly to Jonah, but now he spoke through the storm and through the fish. Verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. How many of you are claustrophobic? Probably a fair number of us. If we're not claustrophobic, we would become claustrophobic if we were in the belly of a great fish. Jonah probably was not enjoying himself. God was very effective in saying woe to Jonah. Wouldn't you agree? Using the storm, using the fish. All right, no, number one, God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, whoa. And the last one is the hard one. The hard one to come up with the right word. Jonah said what? Yeah, like I said, it was the hard one. I have down Jonah said, yo. Most of you know that I'm not very modern. I looked it up. Webster's Dictionary, used especially to call attention, to indicate attentiveness, or to express affirmation. Do you think God got Jonah's attention? I would say so. And do you think that Jonah was ready to express affirmation, to say, yes, whatever you say, God? I think so. Cambridge Dictionary, expression of approval. I don't think he approved of being in the belly of the great fish, but he was ready to get out. And then dictionary.com. How many of you use dictionary.com? None of you. All you have to do is type in dictionary.com, and you can get the meaning of a word, or you can also use the thesaurus. This is what it said. Here, present, usually especially in answer to a roll call. It reminds me a little bit of when God said to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, yo. I don't think he really said that in Hebrew. He said, here am I, send me. Basically, he was saying, yes, I'm ready. Jonah was not ready to go. Wouldn't you agree with that? But after God said, whoa, through the storm and through the fish, Jonah was ready to say yes to God. And that's exactly what we see in chapters 2 and 3. First of all, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we're not going to spend much time on it, but he prays. Isn't that a good idea? In the midst of difficulty, a lot of times what we do is we pray, we turn to God. He was probably in a situation much more difficult than most of us have faced. In the middle of the sea, in the belly of a great fish. He felt afflicted. He used that word. And he turned to God. He prayed. Often we pray when times are tough. And God answered Jonah's prayer. Look at chapter 2, verse number 10. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. The good news is he was getting out. The bad news is, how many of you like vomit? Probably none of us do. Let's move on from there very quickly. He probably did not look very healthy when he was vomited out of the fish. He had been through a tough time. He prayed. God delivered him. But not only did he pray, he also exercised obedience. The response of Jonah was number one, prayer. Number two was obedience. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, isn't it good that God gives us second chances sometime? Are we guaranteed a second chance? No, and I think we need to be careful lest we test God. But in this situation, God gave Jonah a second chance, and he said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. And Jonah, his response was, yo, whatever you say, God, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. Just no more storms and no more fish. Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. We need to say yes, don't we? I don't know if I'm using that word yo right or not. But according to the dictionaries, I was able to manipulate it and use it in my sermon. But the reality is that God is saying to each and every one of us, go. Some of us say no. And God says, whoa. And then he gives us a second chance. And we need to say, yo, yes. I am willing. I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. I am willing to share the good news about Jesus Christ. We'll talk about this later. But basically, as we look at at verses 3 through the rest of the chapter, it talks about the proclamation of God's word. It talks about repentance and faith, and it talks about salvation. Repentance and faith is necessary for us to be saved. We need to turn from our sin and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Proclamation is necessary for us to know God's word so that we can repent and believe and be saved. I think that as we look at our situations, we can be one of two camps. We can need the gospel. In other words, we've never trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We need to recognize that we are sinners, that the wages of sin is death, that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and say yes to him by trusting Christ as Savior. I guarantee there are some in here today that have never said yes to Jesus Christ. It's neat that Blake made sure that he had said yes to Jesus Christ earlier this week. But it's not just enough to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. We need to say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord. And he wants us to be involved in the great commandment, the great commission, the great challenge of equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. Especially today, the great commission, we need to go. If we're not a Christian, we need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. If we are a Christian, we need to go and tell others about Jesus Christ. Fall Festival is a great opportunity. We're going to make sure that the gospel is shared as effectively as we can. It's difficult with so many people. But we're going to try to do so publicly, so to speak, or as a group. But as the video said just a minute ago, we're going to try to do it one-on-one as well. And if you're interested in being involved in evangelism next Sunday at the Fall Festival, I would love for you to get in touch with me. Just call me, text me, just get in touch with me and let me know. And we'll give you some information that will help you in regard to sharing the good news about Jesus Christ at the Fall Festival. What we need to do, though, is we need to make sure that we are going. The gospel, trusting Christ as Savior. The great commission, letting others know about what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jonah and for the message that we have in Jonah. I think part of the message is repentance and faith. Even those in Nineveh, a wicked city, when they turned from their sin and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, they did not undergo judgment. And because of what Christ did on the cross, when we turn from our sin and trust Jesus as our Savior, then we have everlasting life. I pray that if there's someone here today that has not trusted Christ as Savior, they will do so today. Lord, I pray that for many of us, we will recognize the importance of being involved in the Great Commission, sharing with the world around us, with friends around us, with co-workers around us, with fellow students, with people at the park, our relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to recognize it's not real complicated. It's bad news and good news. Lord, help us to make sure that we share the good news about Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to make the decision you want us to today, and that you will transform us by the renewing of our minds. And all of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.